Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Mitchell, have I not been on the air? Mitchell.
Jim. Okay, I got him muted. No, Jim, we haven't been on the air. I've been having some computer problems and some internet problems. But we are on right now. We're on Studio B. We got on. I don't know what it is. It's been on my end again, I guess.
Okay.
Are you on Zoom, right?
Yeah, I'm on Zoom, so I've recorded the first part of the show that nobody heard. I'm going to continue here, and my guest will be joining us shortly. Meanwhile, Jonathan Turley has published five facts pushing impeachment inquiry. While Professor Jonathan Turley, saying he does not believe a case for impeachment has yet been made against President Joe Biden, maintained there is clearly a need for a probe into a growing array of allegations facing the president. Turley, a constitutional law scholar at George Washington University, made his comments about the House impeachment inquiry in a post on his website. I also reject the notion that because a conviction is unlikely in the Democrat-controlled Senate, the House should not go down this road, he said. I rejected the same argument made by some Republican during the Trump impeachment. The House has a separate constitutional duty in the investigation of potential impeachable offenses, and it passed articles of impeachment if those allegations are found to be valid. The Senate has its own constitutional function under the Constitution that it can either choose to fulfill or to ignore. A House impeachment holds both constitutional and historical significance separate from any conviction. That does not mean that grounds for impeachment will be found in this inquiry. While the president deserves a presumption of innocence in this process, the public deserves answers to these questions. He then detailed his position on the impeachment inquiry in a column for The Messenger. The House has established a labyrinth of dozens of shell companies and accounts allegedly used to transfer millions of dollars to Biden family members, he said. There is now undeniable evidence to support influence peddling by Hunter Biden and some of his associates with Joe Biden, to quote Hunter's business partner, Devin Archer, being the brand they were selling. He called the suggestion that this evidence did not meet the standard for inquiry into impeachable offenses an example of willful blindness. It is also starkly different from the standard applied by congressional Democrats during the Trump and Nixon impeachment efforts. He asked readers to consider five established facts. And Mitchell, why don't you kill the break? First, there appears to be evidence that Joe Biden lied to the public for years in denying knowledge of his son's business dealings. He sat Hunter's ex-business associate, Tony Bobulinski, has said repeatedly that he discussed some dealing directly with Joe Biden. Second, we know that more than $29 million was paid to the Bidens by foreign sources, including figures in China, Ukraine, Russia, and Romania. There's no apparent reason for the multi-layers of accounts and companies other than to hide these transfers. Third, specific demands were made on Hunter, including dealing with the threat of a Ukrainian prosecutor to the Ukrainian energy company Burisma, where Hunter was given a lucrative board position. 5 days later, Joe Biden forced the Ukrainians to fire the prosecutor. Fourth, Hunter repeatedly stated in emails that he paid his father as much as half of what he earned. Fifth, there's evidence of alleged criminal conduct by Hunter that could be linked to covering up these payments, from the failure to pay taxes to the failure to register as a foreign lobbyist. What is not established is the assumption by many that Joe Biden was fully aware of both the business dealings and any efforts to conceal them. Turley said the inquiry may not result in the impeachment of Joe Biden, but it will result in greater clarity. Indeed, it is that very clarity that many in Washington may fear the most from this inquiry. What he says about the absence of proof that he was involved has now been overcome by the discovery that Joe was using multiple different aliases, and they now have hundreds of email communication between Joe and Hunter where they're explicitly discussing his business dealings. Which means this guy, Joe Biden, has been a big-time liar from the beginning.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle, If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, among the other problems today, my fabulous guest has yet to arrive because you miss the early parts, which were not broadcast on the air. I'm going to repeat those for you now. So there's going to be a repetition in today's show for those who watch it on my blog at BitChute channel Jim Fetzer. But many of you here will be hearing this for the first time. Namely, on my blog, I have perhaps the best presentation I ever gave on 9/11 with Jeremy Neal of South Africa, Germ Warfare, James Fetzer on the 9/11 cover-up. Now, among the many points I make there is that we know in relation to the New York flights, especially in the case of Flight 175, that we're not dealing with a real airplane. And we know that because, among other points, from the Evan Fairbank video looking straight up the tower, we see the plane disappear its complete length into the building. In the same number of frames, it passes its complete length through air, which means that a massive, which makes physical sense only if a massive 500,000-ton steel and concrete building provides no more resistance to the trajectory of an aircraft in flight than air, which, of course, is absurd. Massive resistance. A real plane would have crumpled external to the building, bodies, seats, luggage, wingtail parts falling to the ground, and the engines, which are virtually indestructible, might well have made their way through the building. But in fact, we also had the peculiarity of the nose-out phenomenon, where the nose of the plane, as you can see in the bottom left here, actually pops out the other side of the building, which is, again, another impossibility. The nose of these aircrafts is very fragile. It's loaded with electronics. Could not possibly have happened. And immediately the station did a fade to black. Here they are recording the greatest atrocity committed on American soil absent Pearl Harbor. And they fade to black. They stop filming. Why? Because something had occurred that gave the game away. Now, real planes would have left debris including, no doubt, their engines. And yet at church in Murray, there was an engine just sitting on the sidewalk beneath a steel scaffolding and a canopy, neither of which were damaged. It's just sitting on the sidewalk, which is completely normal. Anything that massive at high velocity hitting that sidewalk would have churned it up. It would have been a mess. Jack White, a colleague of mine from JFK Research, discovered in Fox News footage a white van at the intersection where five or six individuals wearing FBI vests are unloading something heavy. Well, the mistake they made, not only in just having it sitting on the sidewalk rather than churning it up, is it was an antiquated engine, not in use in Boeing aircraft at the time. It was a plant. Now think about it. If, in fact, this had been bona fide on the up and up, there would have been no need to plant evidence like a fake engine. Now, the question becomes, given it was fake, how was it done? Let me say, my dear guest now has just arrived. I'm delighted to have her here. And I encourage everyone to check out the whole show on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Welcome. Dina Pollard-Sachs is a simply brilliant attorney. She's based in Houston, Texas. She's been involved in a whole host of issues, including related to COVID. Dina, welcome to The Raw Deal.
Thank you so much, Jim. Good to see you.
It's great to see you, and I know you have much to share with us, Dina. Lay on.
Oh, boy. What a crazy 3 years it's been. And I think I'm just going to start with, explaining what my new organization is about and why it started. And then I'm going to get into some of the details of what has gone on in this so-called freedom movement. It's been an absolute disaster. The people involved have done horrific things, misappropriating tens of millions of dollars of donation monies. And these came from concerned Americans who often don't make a lot of money and send in $10, $15, $25 and, are shocked by what's going on, especially with America's frontline doctors. But let me first start with just what we've started. I saw what was happening over the past few years. I saw the, shockingly bad decisions being made by the lawyers who had the funding in these cases. And to make a long story short, these people did not have the constitutional experience to be filing these kinds of cases against the government. You're talking about the Department of Justice as your opposition. You need to have a certain kind of expertise. So I saw this go on. I tried to get involved. For whatever reason, I was shut down repeatedly by the big organizations who got the tens of millions in donations. And meanwhile, they had no one with constitutional experience. They had no certified appellate lawyer involved. And I kept writing these emails to them saying, what are you doing? You're not going to win doing it this way. So to make a long story short, we finally just decided to open, our own 501c3. So Lord Advocates is up and running for several months now. It's www.lordadvocates.org. And what I did with a couple of my law professor friends, and these were former tenured law professor in the areas of expertise that we need, for example, constitutional law, civil procedure, evidence. And then we have a certified appellate lawyer as well. You need that to go up against the government. These guys have all the money, all the means, and you need to have lawyers who can fight back. So we started this organization so that we would have that level of lawyering involved in these cases. And I'm still looking for funding to bring a proper Liberty Clause challenge to these vaccine mandates. The Liberty Clause is the clause that protects us from medical mandates. The Liberty Clause is what protects us from almost everything we don't want the government to do to us. The Liberty Clause is where we find all of our sexual freedoms. It's where we find freedoms from all kinds of misconduct the government might try to impose upon us if it doesn't fall within the categories of, taking away our life or our property or taking away something that's an enumerated right, such as the right to counsel or the right to free speech. Everything else falls in the Liberty Clause. So you really have to deal with the Liberty Clause if you're going to deal with these cases. So I'm right now looking for some support for that, and I'm going to have a Zoom call with a Massachusetts lawyer after this call, because the case arises from Massachusetts. But these charities are out of control. It's so disgusting. I remember seeing, what was it, 2.5 years ago, something like that, on a podcast. A woman, and it struck me immediately that she didn't come off as very professional. The way she was dressed, the way she was leaning back in her chair with a real weird attitude and talking about, this was Dr. Gold, Dr. Simone Gold, talking about how she's got the best team of lawyers, they're going to go after the government on these vaccine mandates, and how this is a clear violation of your fundamental right to bodily integrity. And I'm like, wait a minute, fundamental right to bodily integrity. The court has never said that. The Supreme Court has never deemed bodily integrity a fundamental right. So right there as a lawyer, I'm saying, hey, wait a minute, that's not quite right. She goes on to talk about this case called Cruzan versus Missouri. And that case was a Liberty Clause case, kind of, but it was really more about whether a state can impose higher burdens of proof to pull the plug on a comatose patient. So the court never defined a standard review. The court didn't discuss rational basis, strict scrutiny. She goes on to tell the people in this podcast the court adopted strict scrutiny relative to bodily integrity. No, they did not. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, she's this person. Well, she's a doctor, right? She doesn't necessarily know the law, but she shouldn't be talking about the law. And then she goes on to say they're going to sue Kaiser under the Constitution. And I thought, has this person never heard of the state action doctrine? You can't sue a private company under the Constitution. The Constitution only applies to the government. It's called the state action doctrine. So I'm thinking, what is wrong with this person? And the attitude was weird, too. So all of it was weird. And so I wrote into to America's Frontline Doctors, and I said, hey, y'all had a doctor basically misinforming the public about this really important topic as to whether the government can impose vaccine mandates. I come to learn she has a law degree from Stanford. And now I'm completely perplexed as to why she would get on a podcast, discuss a case she obviously hasn't read at all. It's not that long a case, by the way, or doesn't understand, which is, again, shocking if she has a law degree from Stanford. So I knew something was wrong with Simone Gold from the very beginning. And they did take down that video. But, I'm going to get more into that in just a minute. But I started this Lord Advocates to create a group of extraordinary lawyers, all were former tenured law professors except for one, who was a certified appellate lawyer. And for those who don't know, there aren't very many certified appellate lawyers out there. You have to take a separate bar exam. It's very, very technical work, and that's why they want certification to be able to say you're an appellate lawyer. And so when you get into fighting the government, the Department of Justice and the state attorneys general, they know all about how to trip you up on procedure. That's what they do half the time, because they know that a lot of lawyers just don't go through all of the procedural aspects of a case as well as they should, because you don't need to worry about those things most of the time. Standing, for example. Standing is never an issue in the vast majority of cases. You have a plaintiff who's been injured in an accident, you don't have a standing issue. In federal court, though, it can be very difficult. You have to make sure that your plaintiffs have there's all these justiciability issues, mootness, rightness, standing. These are in the first year class in federal court jurisdiction, or maybe it's a second year class in law school. These are all doctrines you learn in law school. And yet I was seeing the lawyers just bypass them, not know what to do, and then get dismissed out of court because they hadn't done it right. So I started Lord Advocates, and then I had met someone named Renette Sunim. And Renette was the mayor of Nevada City, California, several years ago. And she and I met at Nations in Action first conference. That was in, where was it? That was in, I guess it was July of 2021. I think it was, or 22. Anyway, we met there. We stayed friends, and in fact, we were there at the time. This was in Atlanta. We were there at the time the Guidestones were blown up. They were blown up on the 4th of July. That was the last day of our conference, and I remember going to the airport and hearing about the Guidestones being blown up in Atlanta. But anyway, so we met there, and we started talking, and she asked me about this geoengineering, and I said, what's geoengineering? This was just like 6 months ago. And she goes, you know what geoengineering is? I said, no. She goes, you know what chemtrails are? And I said, well, yeah, I've heard of chemtrails, but I don't know what they are. I don't know if they're real. You know how the media has basically discredited people talking about chemtrails, saying they're conspiracy theorists and things like that. So anyway, we decided to come together with her new organization called Gen7.org and challenge what they're doing. And it's been one unbelievable, matrix of confusion after another. We don't even know who's doing it. We believe it's the military. We believe it's military planes. But we also have been informed by an expert that they're putting these chemicals, aluminum, barium, other chemicals, in all jet fuel so that every plane that crosses the sky is participating in geoengineering. And for those who don't know where it is, geoengineering is just engineering the weather, basically. Engineering, it started with cloud seeding back in the 40s and 50s, where they would spray chemicals onto clouds to cause the clouds to dissipate. And originally the idea was that they were going to prevent hail and try to make sure it's just rain that comes from the clouds. And the only case I've ever seen that was successful is from 1958 in Texas, where some ranchers were standing in their fields and they saw the clouds forming and they were like, oh good, there's going to be rain. And then they saw planes fly over and spray something on the clouds and they saw the clouds dissipate and they lost their rainwater. So they sued. They found out who was doing it. Back in those days, I think it was easier to figure out who's doing what. We're now in an era with such incredible fraud and dishonesty. It's hard to find out anything, especially from our government. But they found out it was other neighbors in the neighboring county who were spraying the clouds because they said they were making sure the clouds didn't bring hail to their property. But it went all the way to the Supreme Court of Texas, and the Supreme Court of Texas said those ranchers have a right to rain on their property. We all have these certain natural rights to the environment. And without rain, the ranchers couldn't do what they were doing, in their fields with their cattle and whatnot. And the other side tried to argue if anyone has a right to the rain, it's the state, the government. And the court just disregarded that argument, thank goodness, because that is not consistent with the public trust doctrine. And the public trust doctrine has held for many years as a common law doctrine that all of us, every person in our country, every person in the world has certain natural rights to the natural environment and that the government holds the natural environment in trust for us. So they can't just go and pollute the oceans and pollute the skies and say it's ours, we can do that, you're just the public. The public has the interest in those natural aspects of our world. So after that case, there hasn't been a case that's won with geoengineering. So you can see why, I hadn't even heard of it. And so we got together and started going through this, and it's just been sort of a nightmare of confusion. The first thing I heard was there's a gag order out there that the reporters cannot report on geoengineering. And I thought, well, what do you mean a gag order? A gag order issued by the government is called a prior restraint. And prior restraints in First Amendment law are almost always struck down. The government cannot stop you from saying something, other than the really famous example of, you can't shout fire in a crowded theater. Okay, that's the one example everyone gives. But other than that, the government may allow certain punishment for certain speech, like defamation or that kind of thing, but they can't restrain speech. So I was really happy, okay, the gag order, great, let me find that and let me challenge that. And let's at least get people talking about the issue. Let's at least relieve them of this illegal gag order. Well, we went to the organizations, we complained about the gag order, and I saw their letters written to the government complaining about this illegal gag order, and they told us they didn't know of any. What were you complaining about? They said, well, we don't know of any today. So they're claiming, and even the people who we know or we thought were on our side, they're claiming they don't know anything about this. So we're still going through it. Now we're looking at a application by Make Sunsets that was filed with NOAA. And they say they want to spray the skies for 200 years with chemicals. And it was dated in March 2023. And they have no environmental impact study at all. They admit it right on the application. And they said that the process started in February of 2023. So they say they already started it. They filed in March for an application for a permit to do this without an environmental impact statement, which is a violation of the law right there. So now we're looking at, well, how do we challenge that? It has its own issues with challenging that because, well, normally the Administrative Procedure Act has a remedy of vacatur. So you can vacate something an administrative agency does. But if they haven't acted yet, what can we do? Can we get a court order you know, an affirmative injunction to require NOAA to reject that application and to put a notice of such online. I don't know. So every step of the way, we're dealing with, you know, expensive lawyer time, research into issues of first impression, and we're just sort of plugging along one step at a time. But it would be very helpful to us if we could get some solidarity here and get some support, because so far I've done about 99% of the research by myself. We just haven't had the funds to hire anybody. So if you are interested in this, go to www.lordadvocates.org and take a look at who we are. Take a look at our credentials. And also, we spend nothing, not one penny of donation money on travel, food, search engine optimization, talent agents, marketing, and none of that. It's all going to attorney's fees and costs and CPA fees and costs, because we have to be compliant with the IRS to keep our 501c3 status, make sure we're tax exempt, and make sure all donations are also tax deductible. So now let's talk about what I saw with, the whole America's Frontline Doctors debacle. It's been just an unbelievable testament to what happens when people who frankly have never had their hands on any kind of real money get access to millions of dollars. I think I sent you the investigative report that creates the audit that's forthcoming on America's Frontline Doctors. Right now, they've moved for receivership. Simone Gold has been in control of, and by the way, have you ever heard of Simone Gold?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Many have, but not all. So you can give us some background on Simone.
She's a doctor, and she also has a JD from Stanford, but apparently never practiced law. And she was an ER doctor at, I think, UCLA in Los Angeles. And when COVID came out and everyone was starting to die in the hospital, she wanted to prescribe hydroxychloroquine. And they said, no, you can't do that. And she had a problem with that. And I agree with all of that, if that's what she did. However, there's some intel now that she was chosen, and she was, from the beginning, never a real person. In the very beginning, she was someone who was chosen because she was a doctor. And I actually listened to an audio tape with a discussion talking about, we've got to find a doctor, because 92% of Americans trust doctors. So they want to find a doctor as this front person. This is like a Tea Party group to challenge what's going on. So I really can't say for sure, but I can say I've listened to the tape. I've heard the people, the reporters tell me that this is what's happened. She was never for real. She was chosen specifically for this position of being this frontline person to draw, for one thing, all the donations away from people like, you know, real lawyers who are doing real work to these organizations. And then they have lost, someone, America's Frontline Doctors, has misappropriated $30 million. $30 million, Jim. So, you know,
$30 million?
What happened was Simone Gold went to prison for a short time for her behavior on January 6th, 2021. And from what I understand, it wasn't so much the fact that she was there. It was the fact that in busting into the building, she stepped over someone who was injured and didn't stop and help. And so that, as a doctor, didn't look good. But it would be in line with her real motive, which was not necessarily to, I think she was there with a purpose and with an agenda at this point. Anyway, there was she stepped down from the board, and this has been established by a court. She stepped down from the board of America's Frontline Doctors, in part to do her prison sentence, and then I guess because she wanted to start her own for-profit business. And she also demanded $50,000 a month in compensation for being the face of America's Frontline Doctors, and then $1.5 million is seed money for her for-profit business. Okay, first of all, you can get online in 5 minutes and find out that when you have 501c3, that donation money must be spent on the reasons for the 501c3's existence. In other words, if it's for civil rights litigation or education, the money must be spent on that. And you can't pay your officers $600,000 a year. That looks like self-dealing. It's too much. It's ridiculous. Especially for someone like her, who was making, what, $220,000 a year, something like that, as a UCLA or a ER doctor before that. I mean, she's never made that kind of money, never had that kind of money in her hand. And by the way, making $200,000 in Los Angeles is not a lot of money. I mean, the houses are a million, anything decent is $1 million. So she never really had any real money. I think that's part of it, and how she behaved when she had access to money that wasn't hers. The donation money was owned by the 501c3. That money was to be spent exclusively on the charitable purposes for which the 501c3 was set up, and they weren't. So she was she got a house in Naples with $3.6 million. That's what she spent in this house, was living there with this guy named John Strand and trying to pass him off as her boyfriend. But I mean, I could just take one look at him and say that I see no chance that he was with her. But more importantly, he's a gay underwear model. So there was something weird about that too. He was there on January 6th as well, apparently. So she was, spending, oh my gosh, $10,000-$20,000 a month on credit card bills, CVS, Walgreens, tons of hotels, flights, basically living the lifestyle of a successful CEO when she is not a successful CEO. She's just a front person for a charitable organization, and that money should never have been spent the way it was. So all these problems arose. She left the board, and then she decided she wanted to be on the board again. And so a dispute arose, and the new board, and Gold were in this dispute in Arizona about who controls America's Frontline Doctors. And she claimed she was still on the board. Well, the court found otherwise. On January 27th of this year, the Superior Court of Arizona, Maricopa County, made all sorts of findings about Gold, including, and I'm quoting here from the court order. I want to make sure people understand, this is a public record. This is not my opinion. These are findings by a court of law against Dr. Simone Gold after looking at the affidavits, reviewing the evidence, and looking at the minutes of the board meetings. Quote, Gold purchased a home in Naples, Florida through an America's Frontline Doctors, a nonprofit subsidiary, in January of 2022. Gold regularly resides there. The purchase price was $3.6 million. America's Frontline Doctors funds are used, donation monies are used to pay for household expenses, including a housekeeper. Gold has also used company money for security purposes. So she's living a lifestyle of some kind of a movie star, which is anything but. Proper corporate, I'm still reading from the court order. Proper corporate formalities were not used in connection with the Naples home. Formal board approval of the purchase never occurred. America's Frontline Doctors has, through Gold, purchased 3 expensive vehicles for Gold's use.
Tina, hold that thought. We'll be right back after this break. After this break, we'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, my guest today, Dina Pollard-Sachs, is a dynamic lawyer. She's very knowledgeable, very articulate. And the issue she's talking about here, on the one hand, frontline doctors, but on the other, geoengineering, are of enormous significance. She talked about a relatively minor case in Texas about seeding or unseeding clouds to make sure that rain wouldn't fall. Well, we've had weather manipulation going on all over the place. Katrina, I'm convinced, was manufactured. Hurricanes in Florida to punish DeSantis. This is all politically driven. It's extremely important to be dealt with in a proper way, in a legal framework, to get this straightened out. Dina, I'm just delighted to have you here today. Please continue.
Oh, sure. I was just reading from the court order in Arizona making findings against Simone Gold and ultimately finding she's not on the board, although she says she is. And one of the reasons why I'm pointing this out is because this, what she did, what this woman did with donation monies is, I think, one of the reasons why we're struggling so much to get donation money. People are sick of donating. They don't trust people who handle the funds. And other organizations who got a lot of money as well did a terrible job in court, lost case after case after case. And the public knows we have a right to reject medication. They know we have a right to reject shots. They know this. And so they don't understand why these organizations are failing in the courts. And I do understand why. And I've had it out with some people at the top and said, you know, your people are not good enough. You're not hiring qualified lawyers. One person, one group hired an unaccredited law school grad, an online unaccredited law school grad to fight, you know, a state attorney general. I mean, you can't do that. Let me continue on, though, because I want to make sure people know what Simone Gold is, because my client did a podcast and did some journalism about what she's done, and she sued my client. Now, we're going to win this case. She has a lot of nerve, you know, suing my client at all. She goes around calling herself a public figure, which I don't think she is. No one in my world, not one law professor, not one real doctor, my friends are surgeons, no one's heard of Simone Gold. So that tells me she is, at best, a, you know, marginalized, you know, cult, you know, has a cult following type thing, and is at best a limited purpose public figure. I do think she is a limited purpose public figure, and that's really important because she's put herself out there intentionally trying to be a full purpose public figure, desperately trying to get celebrity status, but she's never gotten it, but she's gotten enough. She's been on television, she's going to have to deal with the public figure burden of proof, which is very hard. But let me continue on with the court. I want to clarify what she did. Here's the court speaking. This is all direct verbatim. Gold claims that attorney George Wentz negotiated a deal that Gold would resign on the conditions that she be paid $1.5 million in cash to invest in Gold Care and that she receive $50,000 per month consulting agreement. Gold's claim is not true. The notion that a nonprofit company could take donated funds and pay them to a principal for a company to invest in a for-profit business is simply absurd. Gold had to know that such an arrangement was completely improper and likely illegal. Her testimony is not credible. Gold's claim that she is the chairman of the board is nonsense. Gold's testimony that her resignation was conditional is simply not credible. The notion that donated funds could be provided to Gold to invest in her for-profit business is ridiculous, and Gold had to know that. The contention that Gold never resigned is simply ridiculous. In any event, Gold did not acknowledge in writing she was no longer on the board. So Gold is now suing everyone she can for telling the truth about her, and she just filed last week another lawsuit against an insurance company. And listen to this. Listen to what she did last week. She and this attorney named Jonathan Bloom, from Wiley Peterson out of Las Vegas, Nevada, filed a verified complaint. Now, keep in mind, a verified complaint means that a person with actual first-person percipient witness knowledge of the events is testifying, in a sense, is verifying the facts set forth in the complaint. So the complaint is verified, meaning that if you lie in a verified complaint, you can be prosecuted for perjury. Just as if you lie in a deposition or you sign verifications for interrogatories that are not true. That's all unlawful. And listen to what she says. She says that in the very beginning, Dr. Simone Gold is a resident of the state of Florida and the president and chairman of the board of America's Frontline Doctors. The court decided 8 months ago that she's not. We have a court order saying she has been found, as a matter of fact, not to be the president or on the board. And now she's telling the court over in, also in Nevada, that she is. I mean, this is someone who is truly delusional, deranged, or both. And I want to talk just for a minute about the kind of money that was being spent, the kind of money that's been taken out of the accounts, which Gold is the one who had access to these accounts. And so, and a guy named Tony Brewer, who was the accountant for America's Frontline Doctors. And this company is Kappen Kraus. This is a significant, this is a serious company who does audits and things like that. And they couldn't complete the audit because they were not given the supporting documentation. They found $30,377,566 unaccounted for, undocumented, $30 million. And this includes, you know, Simone Gold's $907,000 that they could pin it down to who did some of this. $907,000 attributed to Gold, $86,000 to her child, I think it's a son, $50,000 here, $50,000 there, and Strand, $41,000 with Strand, the one who she claims is her boyfriend, who we believe is a gay, you know, underwear model. So the fraud is everywhere, and it goes on and on and on. The credit card transactions, she has 355,000 in credit card transactions. in like 2022, 2023. I mean, it's just outrageous. Another 62,000 pre-August of 22, and then another 418,000 credit cards in another period. So I'm looking at this thing. This is so outrageous. This person should be in prison for the rest of her life. If this is true, and again, they couldn't get the documentations that America's Frontline Doctors or Simone Gold said was going to come because the Tony Brewer, the accountant, never provided them, and then he was apparently fired. I think he was fired from the board. Either that or he stepped in. He's no longer there. So all these people who were involved with America's Frontline Doctors at the time that $30 million went missing, no one has any answers. Now, it seems to me that that should result in somebody going to prison for a very long time.
Dina, I'm just dumbfounded. I mean, this money was coming in through venues like PayPal or Give, Send, Go or something. I mean, you'd think there would be a basic accounting, not only of the income, but the outgo. I mean, that's, of course, the question here. Where did the money go?
I know, and it would be even a little bit less egregious, I suppose, if it was, Black Lives Matter, because those people, and I know that they did a lot of bad things, too. In fact, there's a house, one of them bought a house in Malibu down the street, and everyone's in Malibu's talking about it, and lives by Hunter Biden, who was paying apparently $50,000 a month to rent the house down. My house is nowhere near that. My house is in the cheap part of Malibu, a whole different area. But that area is very expensive where they're living. But at least the Black Lives Matter people didn't have law degrees, degrees of medicine. I mean, this is someone who should know better. And again, I got online when I started my 501c3, and I found out in about 5 minutes what I could and couldn't do with the money. And I'm doing much less with it than I could under the law. I will not pay for travel, or because people abuse that. They take first-class flights. They go in the most expensive hotels. They do things they wouldn't do on their own dime. And so, therefore, I decided I will put nothing, not one dime, into travel, flights, hotels, anything, or even any kind of marketing. I haven't done any marketing, as you can probably tell. No one's heard of it. But I will put my own money into that. I'm not going to have donors' money go to anything but the actual work to help the public get a remedy for what's been happening. And that's another thing that really bothers me is I wasn't going live, but I saw a video of Dr. Simone Gold giving a speech in San Francisco right before all this money started flooding in. And, she's got this, again, this kind of small cult following, and a lot of doctors thought, well, she seemed legit at the time. And she was promising them to hire a team of legal eagles to hold the government's feet to the fire. And she's going to go after them. We need donation money. We need the money. So the money comes pouring in. What does she do? She hires people who try to file constitutional claims against a private entity. She hires people who have horrible, credentials in law. No background, no publication record, nothing. And at one point, she entertained the idea, before I knew what she was, of hiring me, and her associate said, Dina, you're phenomenal. I did an analysis for her of a case, and you can't file this. This case is horribly written. It's not accurate. So I did analysis for her, and basically, in a nutshell, you can't do that. There's a lot of problems. And the thing is that she didn't hire me. In fact, she didn't even pay me. After I gave her the work product, on an emergency basis, because she was under a huge, it was probably like 8 o'clock at night. I'm in the grocery store. And then she sort of reprimanded me for hearing clanking. I'm like, well, you called me out of the blue in the grocery store. What do you expect? I didn't say that though, but that's how I'm feeling, thinking, who is this person? Where did she get her attitude? And then she had this emergency. So I put everything aside, canceled an appointment the next morning, and got her this memo within, I don't know what it was, less than 24 hours, more like, probably 16 hours of the call. And then after I sent her the memo, and I sent her the bill, a very small bill, she ignored me, never got back to me, took the fruits of my labor, never got back to me, basically was going to blow me off until my husband wrote a letter. And I don't know if you know this, but my husband is the Sachs in Sachs versus Hayden, which is the Texas Supreme Court case on attorney's fees in Texas. And he had a $20,000 fee bill turned into over $500,000 because the guy unreasonably just didn't want to pay it. The guy was a real jerk, to be honest. He had a lot of money. He had stolen something like $14 million out of a pension fund. And the court kept saying this. In all the proceedings, the court would mention that over and over in court order. She would mention how Charlie Hayden had stolen money from these hardworking individuals. But anyway, you know, and then one of the attorneys from her organization called me and said, well, do you have a written contract? I said, well, no, I mean, she is an emergency. I told her what my hourly rate was. She said, okay, that's a verbal contract. I said, more importantly, if I sue you under quantum merit, the bill is going to be 10 times what I charge you because my fair market rate is way more than what I was charging her as a former tenured professor who specialized in constitutional law and tort law. So, and you can get attorney's fees under quantum merit in Texas as well. So whether you have a breach of contract or a quantum merit claim, if you don't actually have a contract or the contract is deemed somehow not enforceable for some reason, you still can make a claim for your services rendered for theft of services, what it's called, and you get all your attorney's fees in pursuing that claim. That's how my husband's claim of like $20,000 turned into over $500,000. And he recovered it. This guy had a lot of money. So you just don't do that, not in Texas anyway. So now what I find shocking is someone sent me a link to Children's Health Defense California chapter event, September 19th, 2023. Just a couple days from now, a conversation with Dennis Prager and Dr. Simone Gold in Toluca Lake, California, presented by the Children's Health Defense relaunched California chapter Tuesday, September 19th, hosted by Steve and Christina Miller. Location in Toluca Lake. $150 to $250 for a ticket to come and listen to Dr. Simone Gold talk. And I'm thinking, Children's Health Defense is one of the organizations that got tens of millions in donations. Although this may be a different, I think they broke up. So this California chapter may not really be exactly the one that, you know, Robert F. Kennedy was involved with. I'm not sure about the situation, but why would anybody have this woman come as part of the organization when she's been found by a court essentially to be a liar? You heard what the court said. She's not credible. She's a perjurer. So, you know, it's shocking to me. This whole group, in my opinion at this point, this whole group of people who claim to be the people to go after your rights and fight the vaccine mandates, there's something deeply wrong. And the people, our American people, have been lied to. And the donation monies have not gone where they said they would go. And they've done nothing but create a lot of horrific precedent now that I have to deal with in my case. So it's really, they're every bit as bad as Big Pharma. They're every bit as bad as greedy. They're the same kind of people. They will lie, cheat, and steal the minute they get their hands on money. So it's really demoralizing because a lot of us thought, Simone Gold, she's going to help us, you know, and I had really high hopes for her. I, you know, she's kind of a hokey, dorky individual, you know, and she's likable like Charlie Brown's likable, right? She's just got this sort of, and she's just not a threat. She doesn't come off as threatening, and so she comes off as very likable, and I had high hopes, you know. So I've been personally really surprised and shocked, but I want to say about something happened to me just a couple weeks ago too, because this is yet, you know, this is the last time I'll do anything for anybody unless I get paid up front. I got a call from someone named Serena Nolan from Dallas. Serena Nolan said she runs this Ministry of Truth film fest, and that they wanted me to speak, and that she would fly me to Dallas, get me a hotel, and pay me for my time. I thought, well, you know what? I'd be happy to get a donation for my organization, because then I can maybe hire someone to help me. And so, you know, we had these conversations early on. I somehow mentioned Ken Paxton in an early email talking about, you know, he's still on trial today. Ken Paxton's impeachment trial is going on today, right now. And I was saying how I have personal knowledge of what he does to women in court. He should not be in office for that alone. But anyway, she never said anything about that. And we also had a little bit of a text message back and forth about this guy named Dane Wigington. And Dane Wigington has a group called GeoengineeringWatch.org. And our people had contacted him to try to, you know, create an alliance because we're the lawyers and he's got a lot of information. And his reaction to us was really strange. And so I told her about that. I said, you know, this guy, he's done a lot of good work. I'm very happy with Dane Wigington for his geoengineering.
This is in geoengineering, of course, yeah.
And he's done an incredible amount of documentation, although one of our experts says it's bogus. He says that the truth is they're putting all these chemicals in regular plane fuel so that we're getting every single plane in the sky is doing it. But that can't be right because you can see the big fat chemtrails sometimes, and other times you can't. So it's obvious that some planes are doing it more than others. Anyway, So I said, he's the Hague Bodily, and she responded, I think he's in the tank. I said, maybe he's been threatened or something. She said something like, I think he's in the tank. I'm not sure what that means, as I understand it, on climate change. So I'm not sure what it means to be in the tank, but I didn't question that. But I bring this up for a reason. Because after I gave this presentation, I gave, you know, away some of my work product and explained how one of my goals is to get the public trust doctrine incorporated into the Liberty Clause. I want to actually have that be part of our Liberty Clause jurisprudence. And there are ways to have certain doctrines be brought in to constitutional jurisprudence. For example, in New York Times versus Sullivan, the Supreme Court incorporated the doctrine of fair comment into First Amendment jurisprudence. And when they incorporated the doctrine of fair comment, in that case, they said that, you know, people can make some mistakes in talking about government officials. They can be technically erroneous, but they're still going to be covered by the First Amendment. They're still going to be immune from defamation liability as long as it's fair comment. So I knew this because of my long history of teaching constitutional law and tort law. And so I really opened up and gave the people some novel information in my work product and what we're trying to do. She didn't stiff me. And not only that, I noticed when I was speaking that a recording light came on. We never discussed filming me. I was talking to, I thought, a group of, you know, church-going type people. I couldn't make it to Dallas. I didn't have the time to drive up. But, you know, I couldn't say anything because I didn't want to disrupt the presentation by saying, hey, you're recording me. So afterwards, I started asking questions, and she's refusing to give me the video. It's my video. It's my proprietary, work. She decided to give Dane Wigington the $1,000 donation instead of me, and said. And then when I questioned her about this and wrote a letter to her allies or her sponsors, known as Texans for Vaccine Choice, the president is Rebecca Hardy. She slandered not just me, but my client Renette Sun, and started saying, well, she hadn't really checked us out and suggested we're not legitimate. And if you go on our website, you will see how legitimate we are. You will see the kind of degrees we have, top of our class from top law schools, tons of publications in places like Cambridge University Press, Yale Law School publications. I mean, it is, and this is a woman whose family owns a construction business, apparently has no education. Never held down a job that I can see other than working for her family. And then I found out she was selling tickets to my event as well. I don't know what to say. This happened just a couple weeks ago. So I'm thinking about this and thinking this is so out of control. So I contacted Texans for Vaccine Choice, and they refused to respond to me after hearing what this woman did that they're sponsoring. But their attorney, Tony McDonald, got back to me and said, we just sponsor her. You know, we're not really affiliated with her. Well, you're sponsoring her, you're giving her money. She's stolen my services. It's called theft of services in Texas. And when I call her out, she defames me and my client. So, you know, I thought, let me take a look at this, because when I was a little bit younger, I had a case where there was such weird behavior by one of the people in a civil case that I decided this person's got to have a criminal background, right? So I ran a background and found unbelievable stuff. So with Serena Nolan, I come to learn that she was sued 20 years ago by a lawyer on a breach of contract, and he won a directed verdict. For those of you who don't know what a directed verdict is, it means at the end of plaintiff's case, the plaintiff moves the court to just rule in the plaintiff's favor because the defendant has no defense. And he won on a directed verdict. That means Serena Nolan went to court with her family money or whatever, hired a lawyer, and had no defense. So she has an attitude where she breaches contracts. She figures she's just going to take it to court. Most people can't afford, you know, to go to court. She also has a ton of speeding tickets. I mean, 87, you know, in a 60, things like that. In recent history, when she's 64 now. So she's got two warrants, and I'm not sure what these are, warrants. But my point in saying one warrant for speeding, one warrant for, I guess, an expired license. And the reason I bring this up is because this is what happened. And I do blame Simone Gold for this. This whole movement is now mired in grifters. People have learned that Simone Gold made tens of millions of dollars, apparently, off of lying to people, taking their services, not paying for them. Like what she ultimately did pay me, but only because my husband from Sachs versus Hayden wrote her letter. I mean, there's a handful of people in all of Texas that would have that kind of clout in writing that kind of letter, because the vast majority have never taken a case all the way and gotten a remedy like that, you know, on a breach of contract claim. So these people have repeatedly contacted me, taken my work, taken my knowledge. I've helped voluntarily from time to time. Other times I've helped on promises of compensation. My work has been plagiarized when I gave work to people, and not just me. These big organizations take your work, tell you things that we're not going to use. They turn around and spin an article out of it and publish it in their own name. These organizations who are supposedly fighting against the mask mandates and the vaccine mandates are involved some of the worst people I've ever been around in my life. And I find it so ironic that these are the people talking about how bad big pharma executives are. Well, they're the same exact kind of people. They're just in a smaller pond. You know, they're smaller fish in a smaller pond. But to the people listening, if you want to get something done with real lawyers who don't spend money on first-class flights, Simone Goldfield, she paid $100,000 to charter a private jet for one of her outings. $100,000 on a private jet. Do you think those donors who make $50,000 a year and who gave her $25 in donations, do you think they expected her to spend the money on that, on a private jet? We don't do that. We will not do that. I have it in writing. It's my word. It's now would be like a breach of contract if I did. I wouldn't do it. First of all, we my husband and I have always, you know, we've always had money. I mean, we've always worked really hard as lawyers. We're not really rich, but we have enough. So when we see that kind of money come in, if we ever say, it's not going to be a big deal. My husband has transactions with, you know, tens of millions all the time. The problem has been these people who have never really been very successful. They didn't go to good law school. They never were very successful. They all of a sudden are involved in this movement, and they're stealing money from the donors. So this is why I did this show today, Jim. I wanted to call out these people. I wanted to tell the public what's going on. I know that there's going to be backlash against me. There already has been, but same with Renette Senham, my fabulous client, Renette Senham. Nellie Wolf has dealt with it. And Bobby Kennedy himself has dealt with it for being out there. We've all, and him more than most of us, because he's kind of famous now, right? So we've all dealt with backlash from telling the truth, but we're not going to not tell the truth. We're going to keep telling it, because what's happened in this freedom movement is an absolute, you know, a nightmare and a testament to the weakness of most people. And by the way, Simone Gold is always quoting the Bible, which I find just even more offensive. And some of the other lawyers involved in misconduct have done the same thing.
Dina, before we hit the break again, where could people donate to support your efforts?
Go to www.lordadvocates.org. But don't just donate. Look at who we are. Take a look. You decide for yourself whether we're worth it. Look at what we've done. Law degrees from Harvard, Columbia, Berkeley. Top of our class. Major publications in the most prestigious journals in the world.
We'll be right back after this break, and we'll be taking your calls.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Thank you.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I don't know if Deanna is still with us, but don't forget to go over to her website. And remember, she also, I believe, has a show on Revolution Radio. So don't always remember Revolution.radio, Revolution Radio Archives, where you can go and get Studio B and Studio A archives that will... from the previous shows. Anyway, I know Jim has said he's going to open up the
yes, the line. Yes, absolutely. 540-352-4452. Do we have a caller already, Mitchell?
Not that I'm aware of, Jim, no.
Okay, well, go ahead. Why don't you pick up? Any thoughts?
Well, you know, I guess where I would pick up is the Hunter Biden indictment. You know, the Hunter Biden indictment is really only just for the gun charge.
Yeah.
You know, the foreign acting as a foreign agent, taking bribes and fraud and influence peddling, even probably, you know, wheeling and dealing some cocaine or crack or meth or whatever he had. You know, all those charges seem to be, well, non-existent.
Mitchell, I've heard a report that just based upon the contents of the laptop, there were like 96 felonies. 96 felonies on the laptop alone.
Well, that's pretty good considering we do three when we leave the house. You know, those crimes committed by Hunter Biden, if they would have been committed by the average person, they would all have already been really convicted and probably served their 3 to 5 years in jail. Hunter Biden, though, is, you know, part of that protected class of individuals.
Yeah.
You know, this... I laugh because the, you know, the Hillary Clinton server and all of her emails of her pay to play scandal, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, you know, they actually turned a blind eye to all of that corruption, all of that pay to play scandal, and never investigated that.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it, Mitchell. Absolutely.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, while they're doing, you know, Joe Biden, and, you know, it's like, you have to laugh because they asked, is there enough incredible evidence of Joe Biden committing crimes? You know, it's like, well, no shit, Sherlock. Yes, there's more than, you know, there's a half a dozen witnesses. There's $20 million. There's, you know, 20 different shell companies. And all of this, see, here is the thing. All of this has happened under the presidency of Barack Obama. You know, we have to ask, did Barack Obama also get kickbacks from all these schemes? You know,
it would not surprise me, Mitchell, if Obama were getting kickbacks. I mean, if you call Biden the big guy, then what is Obama, Superman?
Well, that's Michelle. That's the bigger guy.
That's true. The Hulk.
But yes, but, you know, I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, the crimes of Joe Biden as vice president and, you know, this clear pay to play bribery scandals dealing with Ukraine in particular, you know, those are a direct reflection of the Obama administration. So go ahead.
Let me just explain to Dina, who does, I do not think she knows, we had a technical glitch. So for the first 20 minutes, I was recording a show, but it was not going out over the air. So it's only at the end when I began talking about Turley, about the five major issues for impeachment, that we actually got on the air. So I think that a number of callers who might have already been calling in, you know, may have lost hope that we were even on the air. And I don't know if it was because they anticipated your arrival, Dina, and were hoping to reduce the audience. I mean, we'll have the full-blown video of the show on my BitChute channel.
And I apologize for the background. I didn't realize this computer, doesn't allow me to choose background. This is the last room in the house I'm unpacking. I'm still unpacking from there.
It looks busy. It looks like a sort of an office, so, you know.
Did you
have any thoughts about this, Hunter thing or the Biden impeachment or any of those issues that are political?
Personally, I just think it's time to start, you know, engaging in merit-based decision-making. And this is one of the problems I've said that we have in this country is that people in power are not the smartest, okay? They're not the most educated. In fact, look at some of our members of Congress. It's frightening. And what has happened over, I guess it's always been this way from the times of kings and queens, but they keep all the power to themselves and they choose people who are not very smart or not very capable because they want to maintain power. They want power more than they want things to go well for the community and for the public and for the people of the world. And so I think that our people, American people, are going to simply have to learn to self-govern better. And so this is the end of my second book, The Godfathers of Sex Abuse, Book 2, the Weinstein and Cosby book. I said, we've got to learn to self-govern because we're handing over the reins to these two parties, both of which are totally corrupt. The Democrats are probably the most dangerous party today of any party in the history of the world in terms of the amount of people dying at their hands of their policies, including my mother, who took the COVID shots and died after the second shot. But I think that we've got to find a way, I guess on a grassroots community level, to choose who we want to represent us. And I said this before, maybe it's the local mechanic who's never cheated anyone. Maybe it's the local, daycare center owner who's always so kind to the children and always fair and always helps out. Someone we know is a pro-social giver, not a taker. Because those people in our government are generally takers. They lie to us to take our free will. They lie to us about who they are. They post happy family photos, you know, online to make it look like they're decent when the truth is they're having right and left or their kids are on drugs or whatever. It's such a massive fraud, and we the people have the power to change it. We have the vote. The problem is we are all, not all of us, but so many of us are so complacent. And we think, well, who's going to, you know, they're going to offer us up two options, you know, a Democrat and Republican. We've got to pick one of those. Okay, no. We've got to start putting our own candidates on the ticket. And we've got to start small. We know these people. And I know, I don't know what to do from there other than to say it has to be done. We've got to start choosing our representatives. We've got to start choosing smart people, educated people, decent people.
Well, you got to straighten out the voting. I mean, the whole thing, Dina, revolves around the corruption of the voting system where Obama put our whole electoral system on the ground. It was critical infrastructure under the Department of Homeland Security and something called FirstNet, which is a national cellular network that enabled them to monitor and change the votes at the precinct level, Dina. That's why we got this. That's why we got this calamity. Like this governor in New Mexico is issuing this unconstitutional gun grab. People who live in New Mexico never expected her to become governor. There was a very popular candidate. I think it was a news anchor that everybody loved. I'm sure he got 70% of the vote. But the Biden operation, the Obama operation through FirstNet, change it. By the way, we have a caller here. Frank. In New York. Frank, join the conversation.
Thanks for taking my call, Jim. You know, Jim, the Republicans seem to be doing nothing. We know the Democrats are corrupt. They're prosecuting people that shouldn't be prosecuted. And the major problem is the media. You know, the media just goes along with it. They know what's going on. You know, they should be reporting on those people, the January 6th prisoners. Let's see some of that stuff. Let's see what's going on down there. Let's see something that's going on at the border. You know, they call it, the big lie that Trump got the election stolen from him. You know, anybody with two brain cells could see that election was definitely stolen, you know, and the Republicans don't seem to be doing anything about it. And if the Democrats steal it again, I think it's going to get a hell of a lot worse, Jim. And I think tyranny is right around the corner. I mean, if they can get into power, they appoint their prosecutors, they decide who they're going to go after. I mean, all of those people in Black Lives Matter and Antifa burning down buildings, killing people and all of that stuff. And I didn't see any charges, but these people that were guided into the Capitol, come on in, go on in. But they're in jail. It's ludicrous, Jim. I don't know what's going on. The Republicans should start, stirring up some water. Matt Gaetz is the only one I see out there doing much. I really think
Jim Jordan, Marjorie Taylor Greene, there are a few others who are rabble rouser doing the good job, fighting the good fight. But yeah, and I think, Frank, I look at Lahania, and they were so blatant and open about it. I wonder if they want the whole world to know that if we actually good-hearted Americans try to oppose them, for example, by taking up arms, that they're going to dry roast us just like they did the dogs and the people in Lahania. You got the perfect outline of a dog, but it's charcoal. You got bodies of people, charcoal. They're instantaneously disintegrated. I mean, would they use directed energy weapons against conservatives and Trump supporters? I believe they would. And I think that's why they've made such a big deal about the category of domestic terrorists over January 6th. And I'd like Dina's thoughts about this. So if martial law is declared, they can go after the domestic terrorists who all the conservatives, the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, anyone they view as a threat. Dina, your thought.
You know, I just think that it's a dangerous time to be a truth teller, and it really does scare a lot of people. I'm a little scared, too. The only reason why I have any ability to speak out is because I'm a lawyer and my husband's a lawyer, and I feel like we have some protection. I mean, we have people we've known for dozens of years in Texas who are former prosecutors and courts, so I feel like I have some layer of protection. I didn't have that. I was afraid, too. So, I think it comes down to the first thing we need the public to see, we need solidarity. Pope John Paul II said that you can't ever have peace or fairness without solidarity. The people have to get off their rear ends. And Naomi Wolf said this at one point. She said the people are lazy. In her book called The End of America, talking about the various things that happened near the end of a free government, you have reporters going to prison, and you have an emergency declared, right? You have all these unusual processes for passing law. It's all happening. And she said, people have gotten lazy. Our people think, okay, so you'll fix that for us. Or, the attorney general filed a lawsuit. No, they won't. And they won't, because if they were the kind of person who would do the right thing, they're not going to get in the first place. We've got some good people still, I believe, in our government. I saw Jim Jordan speak recently, and he seemed like a very earnest guy to me. I like the guy, don't know him, but I'm saying that there's still some good ones left. They are dwindling, though. And we've got these crazies in who are clearly not very smart, clearly not educated, saying unbelievable. Biden's one of them. And some of the things come out of his mouth, you're thinking, where has he been? Reminiscent of Dan Quayle, some of the things he said. It's just, where are these people coming from? But I guess they're trying to put in people who maybe look good or look kind of nice or something. They're not putting in the people with the talent and, more importantly, the religious or other moral values that we need. Need people. Because, I mean, other governments find out you can buy off these American politicians. It's easier to buy them off and go to war.
Frank, I want you to hang around while I bring in another caller. Paul, sure. Join the conversation. Paul.
Well, I caught a good part of the show. I got to tell you, the whole thing gives me a headache as a rule. So let's cut to the chase, Jim. I'm sure you'll appreciate this. I went to Wikipedia to look up Simone Gold. You know, I've heard of America's frontline doctors, obviously not heard of Simone Gold in particular, but here we go. Simone Melissa Gold Tizes, T-I-Z-E-S, is an American doctor and anti-vaccine activist. She's the founder of America's Frontline Doctors, blah, blah, blah. Now let's skip down to the important part. You know it's coming, Jim, so here we go, right? Gold was married to businessman Larry Gold until they divorced in 2010. The couple had two children. With her husband, Simone Gold was active in Los Angeles' Jewish community and donated thousands of dollars to their children's Jewish private school, blah, 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 blah. So there you go. That's all you need to know.
Well, we all know she's Jewish. But, you know, Paul, I was going to mention Naomi Wolf is also Jewish, and Naomi Wolf is wonderful and a truth speaker and all that. So, you know, for every Simone.
There's more to it. If you look at Lynette Stenham's article, which is one of the bases for Gold suing her, I sent it to Jim. It's something like Dr. Gold, all roads lead to Israel. And she talks about the people who are behind putting Simone Gold into this position of being the face of America's frontline doctor. It was all contrived. And Lynette Stenham has done a tremendous job of the deep dive and looking into who is this person. Who are the people she's been with, and who's really behind this? Notice also when she appeared with Bobby Kennedy in Dallas on a show, I can't remember the name of the show, it's online, and it's some church, right? A church in Dallas, and they had these advertisements during the church show showing their headquarters in Israel, in Jerusalem. I thought, well, that's weird. A church in Dallas, I would have thought, Christian or Baptist, whatever. So there's, and that also concerned me about how Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was, just giving a glowing review on Simone Gold, how brave and how smart she is. I'm like, first of all, she's not very smart. You can listen to her speak, but more importantly, or at least she doesn't have any skills. But more importantly, did he not know either? Like, how are they fooling everybody? How I see Bobby Kennedy as being a very smart, very sophisticated person. So
they're not okay, but they're not fooling. This is a problem.
Hang on, Paul. I'll get you in here.
I know.
Yeah, Paul, go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, so again, lots and lots of words. Okay, and I get it. There's plenty of words to say, but here's the thing. They're not fooling anybody. This is an operation that's well established. These people network, okay? And it's literally, they might even have some good aspects to them, but they can't help themselves. They cannot help who they are. So in other words, she's an anti-vaccine activist. Okay, great. That's a fantastic quality. But guess what? She's also Jewish. And I know, of course, it's not all Jews. But I think, Jim, at this point, we can only come to one conclusion. And it was what we were warned against, right, by people that we considered, quote, the founding fathers. I mean, they spoke about it. They said, it's probably a mistake. We probably shouldn't let them in here. But the same thing happens over and over and over again. How many centuries are we going to keep repeating this? That's just my point. They're not fooling people. This is just what they do. Okay. And a lot of them are in on it. I don't trust Bobby Kennedy for one second. Okay. He's made clear how important Israel is. All right. I'm done for the moment.
That's good. Bring back Frank.
Okay. Yeah, let me jump in here and defend Bobby Kennedy, okay? I mean, Bobby Kennedy's making a lot of sense out there. I think a lot of people on both sides of the aisle are saying, hey, maybe this guy's got something. I hope he goes third party. You know, people say, oh, he's sucking up to Israel. If you don't suck up to Israel, you're not going anywhere in these elections. He might be pulling a Putin. You know, Putin went over there. He befriended the oligarchs, the Jewish oligarchs. He got in good with them. Then when he got enough control, then they told him, hey, fellas, the game's changing. We're going to start helping the people out, and you guys are going to have to, you know, step back a little bit. And I think he jailed one or two and a couple left the country, and a couple might have said, okay, you know, we won't keep grabbing 90% of the pie for ourselves. You know, so maybe he's playing a game with them. You can't come out and bash Israel and expect to get any, you know, the media runs the agenda in this country. Yes.
Right. Okay. Yes. So he's
well, Paul, let me ask you a question. If I can name a president, honest to God, right now, I will let you be president, okay? You or Jim or myself or the lady on the phone. Seriously. Honest to God, ahead of Tulsi and Trump and all of these people. I'm sincere. If God would say, Frank, you could pick someone right now, okay? You know, I told people, you know, if I was, you know, when Trump got in there, he goes in there and he starts bringing in the swamp creatures. I would have brought in Pat Buchanan and Ron Paul and Alan Keyes and Alan, what's his name there? The guy, Dennis Kucinich, honest people, you know what I mean? Cynthia McKinney. I would have said, okay, let's get some people. You people help me pick out the people that we should get in here. Tucker Carlson. You know, I know a lot of people don't like Tucker. I think Tucker's a good guy, but I think Kennedy might be playing ball the way Putin did.
Okay, Frank. No, I want to say thank you because that was so enjoyable to hear Jim laugh that laugh when you talked about that. Was really
one
that,
second. That was one second, really, Dina. Go ahead, Paul.
That was. Okay, so here's the point I would – like I said, I enjoyed that laugh that Jim got with the suggestion that he would have me as president. Anyway.
I would. I have no problem.
Let me make a point.
Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
All these things, it's just – it's not even a half measure, okay? So Tucker Carlson, what's his recent claim to fame, okay, his recent big thing? He interviewed the guy who had gay sex with Obama. Okay, fantastic. What does that do for us? Will Tucker Carlson ever get into the truth about 9/11 or about Sandy Hook or about the Federal Reserve or about the deadly vaccines? Will he ever fully get into that? No. He's worse than a limited hangout. He's a false hope. I have no need for people like Tucker Carlson or Robert Kennedy Jr. either, because it's not that they don't go all the way, but they're a dead end. Okay, and I've seen enough and heard enough of Robert Kennedy singing the praises of Israel. We don't need
that. Yeah.
I would never do that. Go ahead, Frank. But you would never do that either, and you know it. You would never.
Yeah, no.
You got principle.
Hang on, guys. Frank, Paul, Dina wants to get a word in there.
Sure, I'm sorry.
Dina.
Dina. Dina,
I can't hear.
Dina knows RFK Jr., by the way.
Oh, okay. Well.
He had horrific trauma as a child, and I don't know how you get to live in that world without and have the kind of strength that I have. I'm a regular girl from a regular household. My mom and dad were intact until my mom died. And I have a strong background, strong religious background, very strong. These people don't have it to begin with. And they get into politics. They're compromised. Who knows what kind of threats they're dealing with. So I'm not trying to defend anybody, but I'm saying that it's more complicated than we think. And we all want Bobby to be our hero. Everyone, you know, we like him, whatever. He's very likable. That's just me. So I think, though, that we have to really look at what people have done in their lifetimes. We have to look at an objective.
I'm sure he's a decent guy, right? That's not the issue.
Hang on. Okay, we only got a couple minutes. Paul, a final thought. Frank, a final thought. Then Dina. Paul.
Okay, so, again, I'm sorry to keep repeating the same message, but here it is. I'm sorry, but I firmly believe, I'm 100% convinced there is no salvation within the current system, okay? We cannot be participating in this political system, which is completely controlled, because it's going to lead to our demise. We have to go outside of the system and find a way to bring it down. That's my opinion.
Very clear, Paul. Frank, a final thought.
I think Paul makes a great point. The system is taking us down the drain. The problem is, how do we go outside and change it? I think we've got to change it from within. I'm hoping Robert F. Kennedy goes third party. I think if he gets in, he's going to shake things up. We can obviously see the Democratic establishment is against him. I mean, the media hates him. You know what I mean? They're all going after him. He's like the Trump from a little bit more to the left. You know, I think Trump broke a lot of promises, but, you know, I voted for him the second time. Who can vote for Biden? That's a joke. The guy's hiding in the cellar. I think your figures, Jim, a little over $100 million for Trump and about $37 for Biden. They're probably right on the money. I would agree with them, and I'll pass to Dina.
Yeah. Dina, your final thoughts.
I'm not sure the winning candidate has yet emerged. I keep having a hope that somebody, a regular man with a regular family and a really successful business who has a background where everyone around him knows he's moral, he, does the right thing. I'm hoping someone with a merit-based platform emerges, because I don't know what to say about some of these people. I don't have... I'm one of the women that doesn't have a big problem with Trump. And I know what he's done in his background. He's in my book. I'm not. What do we have, though, to choose from? I think we really have to get serious as a people about creating our own pipelines of really decent, really smart people who are moral and decent and have a backbone, and start bringing them into the place where they can be elected and become our representatives. Because right now, I don't think anyone is representing the American people, because I think we are more moral. I think we're smarter. I think we have more normal families, more real relationships than anyone out there just about. So I think that the people have to create a party of the people and create pipelines to get those people into office, because we're never going to win when the elite and those born into wealth are self-chosen leaders. They don't have the stuff.
Special thanks to Dina Pollard-Sachs for being here. It was wonderful having you here, Dina. I encourage everyone, spend a weekend with people you love and care about. Literally, we still do not know how much time we have left. Take advantage of every opportunity you have to be with people you truly love.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? No!
never.
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global